السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي. آمين يا رب العالمين. I want to welcome all of you to this beautiful gathering. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering of His remembrance, a gathering through which we are able to experience or benefit from we are recipients of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we learn in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a group of people gather together remembering Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestows His special mercy upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels surround them. The sakina, tranquility, descends upon such people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of such people. So even though we are physically apart, we are not together in a masjid or in a shared physical space, but I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to count this as a gathering of His remembrance, a gathering which becomes a means of forgiveness for our sins and also a means of finding a stronger sense of faith and also an increase in our knowledge and appreciation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we have organized this program today, and we are so excited to have our dear Ustada Maryam Amir with us, who is going to talk about something very, very important, which is the importance of connecting with the book of Allah. Before we begin that, inshallah, I want to begin with the recitation of a few verses from the Quran, both as a reminder to myself and all of you, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. These verses of Surah Ar-Rahman are verses which are dear to our heart, and these verses are so familiar to us. In these verses, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins Surah Ar-Rahman by the mention of His name first and foremost, to inform us, to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed Ar-Rahman, the absolutely merciful, whose mercy is too vast to even describe in words. And of His mercy is the fact that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and He has given us many things, and so many blessings are listed over here. But the first blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here is that Allah is Ar-Rahman, and He is the one who has 'allama al-Qur'an, who has taught the Quran. So the Quran, compared to every other blessing, is really the most important blessing, the most significant blessing. And it is in appreciation of this blessing that we have gathered here today. And we want to talk about this blessing of the Quran, how important and significant it is in our lives. So without any further delay, I want to welcome our dear Maryam Amir, who is well known, alhamdulillah, especially with her recent Four Mothers series, which is absolutely amazing, where she encourages all of our sisters to, you know, recite more Quran, to personally connect with the Book of Allah. So I would like to welcome her now, inshallah, so that she can remind us with some important reminders, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fee. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. It's such an incredible honor to be with Sheikha Habibti Taymiyyah. MashaAllah, your recitation was so beautiful, tabarakallah. And what I love about Al-Huda is that you do work that just emphasizes the importance of women connecting to the Quran. And in my experiences, subhanAllah, when I was in college, I was the Muslim Student Association president, and we had a journalist come, and she wanted to ask us about connecting the concept of woman in Islam to woman's empowerment in the religion. And of course, she didn't know too much about Islam, but she was doing general research. And so myself and one of the women in the MSA, we met with her, and she asked us, why is it that there are less men that memorize the Quran than there are women? And my friend responded, and she was like, well, you know, there could be so many different factors on why more men memorize the Quran than women do. And when I heard this statement, my first reaction was, no, subhanAllah, we can't say that. We have to be about da'wah and just show how empowering the Quran is and how beautiful the Quran is. And we should just be focusing on how we do have females who memorize the Quran. But I really started thinking about that question, because in my community, as blessed as we were to have a few women who memorized, definitely the men had many more examples of individuals who had completed their memorization, or younger boys who were finishing their memorization, than we did girls. And at that time, we didn't have things like online courses that you could take or someone you could Skype with. That was rare, and you really had to know who to contact for something like that. And so when I heard stories of women talk about why they were struggling with their Quranic connection, these are some of the messages that I heard. I heard stories like women tell me that they were not memorizing the Quran because they were told that they were never going to lead Tarawih, so there was no point. Women who told me that they wanted to memorize the Quran, but they were told that one day they were going to become mothers and they were going to be so busy, they weren't going to have time to maintain their review, and so there was no point. Messages from women who told me that as little girls, they were going to courses with their brothers, memorizing the Quran until they were in their preteens, and the imam said that they're uncomfortable hearing their voices any longer. And so they were forced to stop memorizing because there were no other people for them to study with in their community. Little girls who told me that they had wanted to memorize the Quran and they were actively memorizing and they loved reciting, and who were told that it was haram for her to recite the Quran. And so instead, they moved into other things like singing in the choir in their public high school, or singing songs that they loved because they had beautiful voices and people would tell them they had such great voices. And subhanAllah, with the campaign that we started this past Ramadan in highlighting women's reconnection with the Quran by hearing other women recite, I heard from these women, women who told me these stories that they experienced as little girls, but now, subhanAllah, they are adults and they have their own little girls. And because they're hearing the Quran from other women, maybe they didn't know about Al-Huda Institute, maybe they didn't know about opportunities for women to hear the Quran and hear from beautiful reciters like Sheikha Taymiyyah. And because they didn't know that that existed, there has to be this place that's a bridge. Some women want to memorize the Quran. Some men want to memorize the Quran. It comes from themselves. And other people, when they do that, they know that they can go to an institute and they can learn. But there are a lot of people in the middle that need someone to help spark that for them. They just need to see it in someone else. And when they see it in someone else, then they recognize that this is for me too. And so in that process, I heard from women who told me that for the first time in 10 years, they're opening the Mus'haf again. That for the first time in 15 years, they're starting to recite the Quran out loud to their parents, to their spouses. They're having their little girls who are 8 and 9, 12 and 13, for the first time ever saying, I didn't know that women could be Quran memorizers, and I want to be a Quran memorizer too. And sometimes when we talk about this concept of the Quran in our ummah and going back to the Quran, because true success in this life and in the hereafter comes from this connection to the Quran, understanding it and implementing it. Because Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he mentions that there are individuals who are going to be able to recite the whole book. They don't miss a single letter, but look at their actions. Their actions do not show as if they've even read the book of Allah. The Quran is the love letter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri says that the Quran, it is the words of Allah, of God Almighty, being recited to you on the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our return to this book is a return to the izzah and the honor of our ummah. But sometimes the way we word that is we say, what's wrong with the youth of our ummah? They're so into TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. They're not into the Quran. What is wrong with our ummah? They're so into just wasting time. They're not into the Quran. And really, I think the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, what are we doing as a community? What are we doing as an ummah that is causing people to feel like they cannot connect to the Quran? What do we need to be doing to call people back to the Quran? And when we look at our examples, the companions, radiallahu anhum, we see that from the beginning, women were connected to the book of Allah. Who was the very first person who heard the Quran recited from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was Khadija radiallahu anha, a woman. Who was the very first person who was not a Khalifa that kept the bound copy of the Mus'haf with her? It was Hafsa radiallahu anha, a woman. When we see the example of Ayman radiallahu anha, and the way that she was visited by Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, she started to cry when she saw them. And they said, what is causing you to cry? Don't you know that what is with Allah is better for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Ayman radiallahu anha responded and she said, I'm not crying because I don't know that what is with Allah is not better for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am crying because the revelation has been cut off from the heavens. She began to cry because they used to witness the revelation coming down from the heavens. They used to witness that their experiences led directly to verses being recited, to verses being revealed because of something that they were going through. And while that is very specific and unique to the time of the companions, the reality is that all of us today, when we make an effort to be connected to the Quran, that connection comes out into our lives. How many of you, so many of you have stories in which you're going through a difficult experience and suddenly you hear the exact verse that was on your mind that helps you feel this form of comfort. SubhanAllah, I remember once I had opened the Mus'haf and I was making dua and I was saying, oh Allah, are you even listening to me? And I had this moment of doubt. Many of us, when we make dua, we wonder, is Allah listening to our dua? Is he going to answer our dua? And I asked that question, and I opened the Mus'haf to the most random page, closed my eyes, pointed at an ayah. And the ayah that came was, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That when my servant asks of you, ask about me, I am near, I answer the call of the one who's calling. SubhanAllah, I'm wondering, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listening? And he answers with, he is listening. I am listening to what you when you are calling, SubhanAllah. We have narrations of female companions like Asma radiallahu anha. She was reciting over and over, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And Aisha radiallahu anha, that same ayah is mentioned that Masruq was reciting it. And she started to say, just like Asma radiallahu anha, her sister, would say when she was reciting this verse over and over, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to save them, and alhamdulillah that he's protected them, to save them from a hereafter that was painful, to bless them with being in paradise forever. That is interacting with the Quran on a personal level. And we see that in how we can build this connection, making it personal. We're going to end quickly by talking about 5 ways to connect to the Quran. When we're talking about whether it's going to be memorization or reading the tafsir, reading an English translation that you understand if you don't understand the Arabic, whatever is going to help you build that connection in a way that you understand the verses that are being recited to you. Because the Quran was revealed for your understanding. That transformation is critical. The first point in how to connect to the Quran is recognizing why you are doing it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions that when you recite the Quran, angels come into your home and the shayateen flee from it. When you recite the Quran, angels roam the earth just looking for someone who's reciting the Quran. They love to hear the Quran. And with the presence of angels, as the Mufassirun mention in the explanation of so many verses that talk about angels in the Quran, that their presence brings mercy and barakah. Their presence, with their presence, when they say Ameen and you're making dua, their ameen, one angel's ameen is enough to cover the entire ummah. One angel asking for our forgiveness for the whole ummah is enough for the whole ummah to be forgiven. So what about you when you are making that dua, when you are asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after doing the reciting the Quran, the angel saying ameen, and for you when you make dua for your brother or your sister, imagine the benefit and the barakah of having those angels in your life. But in addition to your ranks being raised, the angels coming to be with you, you being forgiven, and that inshallah there's so much protection being brought into your life because of that presence and that blessing. Imagine being able to come on the day of judgment and being asked to recite and to ascend the levels of heaven. Imagine being able to see the Lord who revealed the Quran. Imagine what it would be like, subhanAllah, to hear these verses from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The Quran is your safe space. Making the Quran your safe space is one of the ways that you can remember why you are memorizing the Quran. And let's look at what that looks like in point 2. How do you make the Quran your safe space? Umar radiallahu anhu, he was reciting the Quran. He was leading Salah. And the very back row, one of the companions could hear him crying so hard as he was reciting, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He was reciting the verses that Yaqub alayhi salam is just so overcome with this sadness. Some of the Mufassirun say, some of the scholars of Tafsir say 40 years between the time that he lost Yusuf alayhi salam to the manipulation of his other sons and being rejoined with Yusuf alayhi salam. And what happened in that time period? He's still grieving. It's okay to grieve. Going through depression and sadness does not mean that you don't have a connection with Allah. Reading the Quran is one of the forms of helping you go through your depression, but you also need the support of mental health professionals and a support system that can help you get there. But the point is, Umar radiallahu anhu, he's reciting this ayah over and over and over again. Why? Imagine what Umar radiallahu anhu had to go through, the responsibility he has as a khalifa, the mistakes that he regrets before he was Muslim, all of those things are just a reminder for us that it is okay to grieve and cry. Make the Quran a safe space. That if somebody in your life made you feel like you were not good enough for the Quran, a friend of mine got into a car accident. Her parents said, it's because you don't read enough Quran. when we consistently are told that when you don't have a connection with you don't have good things happening in your life because you're not connected to the Quran, then at the same time you think, well, all of these other people have great things happening in their life and they don't even have the Quran. And that's because we weaponize the Quran when we talk about it like that. Instead, what we need to be looking at is how the Quran is a form of connection. Whether we're going through ease or difficulty, it doesn't matter what we're going through. The point is that we have the Quran to help us get through it. And we see those examples in the Quran of joy and of loss, of pain and of ease. Just like our lives, the Quran mirrors our lives to help us get through our lives with this connection to the Book of Allah. The third point is that it's okay if it takes a long time. It took me 7 years to memorize the Quran. I was going to school full-time or working full-time or a combination of both. And every time I started with a teacher, that teacher had to stop for some reason. And I would have to start all over with the new teacher. It took me 7 years. And do you think that in those 7 years, I regret a single moment? Imagine if it takes you 20 years, 70 years. What are you going to say? It took me 70 years of having an intimate connection with the Book of Allah. There's nothing more honorable than being able to say that. So never regret or never feel like, oh, it's taking me forever. Just keep going. And that is the fourth point. That was part of the fourth point. Sorry. Be consistent. Even if it's slow, be consistent. The fourth point is exchange mushafs with someone. Find someone you love. Maybe they've never read the Quran before. They're Muslim, but they don't really understand. Find someone you care about. Ask them to gift you a mushaf. Find someone else you know that's trying to memorize the Quran or read it. Gift them a copy of the Quran. And let the other person get the reward of the deeds that you do as you do them. So on the day of judgment, they come, inshallah, and they see mountains. And it's because of the work that you did for someone else that you love. And finally, find a teacher that you trust. There are some teachers that just don't work with you, and that is okay. I am so blessed that my Quran teacher who helped me finish the completion, Sheikh Muhib Fulda, subhanallah, he is so incredible. When he recites the Quran, he doesn't even need to look at the mushaf. He just knows the Quran. Subhanallah, when he recites the Quran, you feel like you're seeing the ayah in front of your eyes. And what is so powerful wasn't that he wasn't just, you memorize the Quran, you read the Quran, you understand the Quran, that's important. He was like, Maryam, we need your voice because you're a woman, because you're not Arab, because you didn't understand. Alhamdulillah, I studied Arabic and now understand Arabic, but I didn't when I first started memorizing. You're born and raised in America. These are examples that we need, not because I'm special, but because they're the same examples of many of you. You are my story. And Sheikh Mahib taught me that the more people that we show who have our stories, the more people who know they can connect with the Quran. And on that note, the Quran is always with you, regardless of what part of your life you're in. And there was a man, as we close, there was a man who, subhanAllah, was always active with the Muslim community, always running around and working for the Muslim community. And do you know what happened? SubhanAllah, he got into a major car accident. And he was in the hospital. And his doctor was a Muslim who always saw him in the masjid, always organizing events. And I heard this story from someone who knew this man. And subhanAllah, the doctor knew that he had to give this man the news that he was paralyzed. Ya Allah, he was paralyzed. This man who did everything, constantly running and organizing and making efforts for the community. And when this doctor gave the man the news, do you know what he replied? His reply was, Alhamdulillah, I finally have time just to focus on the Quran. Every single one of us is in a different life circumstance. But all of us, whether it's one verse a day in a language you understand, or whether it's 5 pages a day, or whether it's however much it is, we can make time for the Quran and let it be what allows us to feel that strong connection to the one who created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is always there for us, because this is a book that he sent love letters in for you and I. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاك الله خيرا كثيرا أستاذة مريم for reminding us of the importance of really not not hesitating when it comes to our relationship with the Quran. That the fact that we may not be Arab, or the fact that we are, a person is, a man or a woman, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what your age is, doesn't matter what your strengths or your weaknesses are. The Quran is for every single one of us. And I want to take the opportunity over here and remind everybody that, where it is extremely beneficial to be able to recite and memorize the Quran, we should remember that the Quran is really a book of guidance. And in order to truly benefit from the book of Allah, yes, we will recite it because its very words are blessed. And we will memorize it because memorizing it is of course extremely rewardable. But in addition to that, in order to really make the Quran a part of our lives, it is essential that we try to understand it. And in trying to understand the Quran, there's two ways. One is that you go and master the Arabic language, and then you try to figure out the meaning of the Quran on your own. And that actually would be a mistake, because yes, the Quran is in Arabic, but ask any random Arab person, they don't necessarily understand what the Quran is saying. What is important is that we learn the meanings, the interpretation, the tafsir of the Quran. And alhamdulillah, at Al-Huda Institute, we're starting a new program in January, and this program is called Ta'lim al-Quran. This program is especially for sisters, by sisters. And in this program, inshallah, in an 18-month long course, and it's a full-time program, in this duration, inshallah, we will go through the translation and the tafsir of the entire Quran. In addition to that, we will also go through the entire recitation of the Quran. And of course, in order to improve our understanding of the Quran, we also have to, study some supplementary Islamic sciences, not really at an advanced level, but at least at a basic level. So, for example, Ulum al-Quran, sciences of the Quran, a little bit of hadith as well, some fiqh as well. But the main focus of this program is really the translation and tafsir of the Quran, so that you develop a personal connection with the Book of Allah. I would like to show you a short video over here of some of our students who graduated from this program. And I want you to hear from them what Quran means to them, how they have found the Quran to be Mubarak, a source of blessing in their lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك مصدق الذي بين يديه
And this is a book which we have sent down, blessed in confirming what was before it.
If only we took the time to open it, because if we just opened it, our hearts would come alive. We would seek and we would be found.
I was panting with desperation of healing until I reached the Quran. The healing began. I was free.
I aim to be a better giver, not a taker, to leave my comfort zone and strive in the way of Allah, to provide shade for those facing hardships alone, to help those in need regardless of the differences in color and creed.
To spread the light of Quran to all of those around me, my relatives, my neighbors, my friends, and every soul in need of a little guidance and a little hope. Because the Quran is my guideline to life and true success. In the eternal abode, I want nothing short of the approval of our ever-knowing and most merciful Creator.
This book is a mirror that shows me who I am, my flaws, my mistakes, my beauty, and my light. Allah chose me specifically to learn this for a reason. This book, you see, it is for amal, to have the best eyes to perceive of the world, the best heart to perceive of my Rabb. Alhamdulillah.
Quran is the manifestation of Allah's rahmah. Like the gleaming bright radiant stars that guide us, it sparks and shines and beautifies the skies. You see, just as these lights, the Quran decorates my soul. Nothing at all can come close to its worth.
It has given my life purpose, and I pray to never, ever let it go. 30 juzs to guide me, 114 surahs to inspire me. I am protected with the words of Allah. It brings clarity to the heedless, justice to the weak, and it breathes life into the spiritually dead. What can bring the heart more comfort than the words of our Lord? What can beautify the heart more than the words of our Lord? The Rabb that knows me best and loves me most.
Quran for all.
In every hand, in every heart.
Alhamdulillah, this course, Ta'lim al-Quran course, has been going on. It has been running in Canada for several years now, alhamdulillah. And hundreds of women have graduated from this program. And as you can see, mashallah, it doesn't matter whether you are Arab or not, whether you have studied the Quran before or you have not been able to, whether you're familiar with the Arabic language or you're not. It's really a transformation experience. And also a self-discovery experience, alhamdulillah. And really, it would be an excellent opportunity at this time where a lot of us are actually at home, we are working from home or we are studying from home, really to have that sense of stability in our lives. This is an excellent opportunity to connect with the Book of Allah, Al-Quran, in order to find blessing in our lives. And with this, inshallah, I would like Sister Maryam Wasti to remind us of the role of the Quran in our lives. Sister Maryam Wasti, alhamdulillah, is the tafsir teacher. She's a tafsir instructor at Al Huda Institute. And inshallah, she will be teaching in this program. She's a student of Dr. Farhat Hashmi for many years. Even now, she's studying with her. And alhamdulillah, she's been teaching the tafsir of the Quran. And let's hear from Sister Maryam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. Guidance from the Quran. In order to understand guidance from the Quran, we need to understand what is guidance. What is Hidayah? What is the Quran? So as a reminder for myself first, as a student of the Quran, and to share with you all also a few points, a few reminders. Hidayah, guidance, is about being directed towards and guided towards the right way. And in a more specific connotation, it's a transformation for the better. But in order for there to even be any hidayah, any guidance, there has to be a guiding force, the receiver of the guidance, willing to take that guidance, and a destination. So in order to understand hidayah, guidance, we need to understand the purpose of our existence and acknowledge the fact that we didn't create ourselves and another created being didn't create us. So we have been created for a reason. We didn't select the day that we would come into this world. And we don't select the day we die and depart from this world. The one who created us for a purpose. And he determines when we come into this world and when we depart. He has informed us of the purpose for which he created us. And that is to worship him on his terms. We learn in Surah Ad-Dhariyat, chapter number 15, verse number 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. We have been created with a limited amount of freedom of choice, while we are alive, which brings with it a responsibility, but also accountability. We cannot really even appreciate guidance, hidayah, until we also accept that this worldly life is temporary. And the hereafter, the eternal abode, is a reality. Real guidance is about being successful in the bigger picture and attaining salvation in the hereafter. For those who are successful, for those who really are successful, are never-ending delights. Perfect companionship, no fatigue, no illness, no heartache, Jannah, where happily ever after truly becomes a reality. Our most merciful Creator didn't just create us and leave us, but in fact, He has created us and also arranged for our hidayah, our guidance, through divine revelation, His kalam, His speech, through messengers, human messengers that we can relate to, and many signs, many ayat in the universe also that point towards His oneness. So hidayah incorporates relevant information pertaining to getting to the right destination, ensuring that the correct track is adhered to and reaching the right destination, salvation, our Creator's approval with us, His nearness. So adhering to the right track requires overcoming hindrances, obstacles that are bound to come along the way. And this requires navigation. And since our knowledge as human beings is limited, our abilities are also limited, in order for us to have a better navigation system, we need to maintain a strong connection with our merciful Creator, whose knowledge is limitless and whose wisdom is perfect. He knows how best to create, how best to guide, and how to reward and how to punish. He doesn't create anything aimlessly. The hidayah, the guidance that Allah has arranged through His speech, is the Quran. And the Quran is a miracle and a message that is never outdated. And it never needs amendments, but it does need to be understood. The Quran is guidance for the muttaqeen, those who are Allah conscious. Hudal lil muttaqeen. And it is guidance for mankind, hudal linnas, in general. And since it is guidance for the muttaqeen, in order to walk in the correct direction, after having been shown the direction in pursuit of the right destination, we need recognition of our Creator, of Allah. And the more Allah conscious we become, the more guided we would become. And the Quran has been described as tanzeel, gradual revelation, dhikr, reminder, and maw'iza, admonition, instruction, and also healing, and also mercy, and also a means of reassurance and rejoicing and peace. In Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verses 57 and 58, we learn that Allah addresses mankind and He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. There has come to you instruction from your Lord and healing for what is in the breasts and guidance and mercy for the believers. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, in the bounty of Allah and in His mercy, in that let them rejoice. It is better than what they accumulate. And from a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we learn that Abu Shuraih al-Khuzai, he reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, rejoice. Do you not witness that there is no God but Allah? And I am the messenger of Allah? So, those who heard him, the Sahaba, they said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, verily, this Quran is a rope. One end is in the hand of Allah, and the other end is in your hand. فَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ, hold fast to it. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَن تَضِلُّوا وَلَن تَهْلِكُوا بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. For you will never be led astray or ruined ever again. Now, if you think about this statement, you will never be led astray or ruined ever again, it's really pointing towards the best navigation system possible. It gives a profound sense of peace and contentment a huge intangible blessing that many are searching for. You see, when we try to get from one place to another place in this world, we require help from various navigation systems, including people and signboards and maps and various digital resources, whether we're on land or on sea or in the air or even outer space. But none of these tools are error-free. They do fail us from time to time. No one can guide us the way our Creator guides us through His words. So we need to hold on and strive towards learning what is really beneficial while asking Him for guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. In the life of an average believer, this is the dua that a believer most frequently makes. Within salah, multiple times. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night, in all seasons. And since hidayah has to do with some amount of transformation and absorption of the direction that's being received, it also incorporates some amount of purification and growth. And you see, in order to be enhanced in better ways, we need to be fixed and sometimes broken in specific ways also. Before the adornment takes place, the cleansing and the ridding of what is corrupt and the detox needs to take place also. In our Ta'lim al-Quran class recently, we learned Surah Al-Hashr, which is chapter number 59. And the last few verses of the surah provide us with important reminders related to what we are investing in terms of the hereafter. The people of Jannah, the people of Jahannam, and how different they are, as well as the significance of not forgetting Allah, but remembering Him. And then there is mention of an example that shows us the profound impact that the Quran has. And then these verses, they end with the most beautiful names of our Creator. So in verses 18 to 24 of Surah Al-Hashr, we learn that Allah states, addressing the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, ittaqullah, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, indeed Allah is acquainted with what you do. Believers, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah. And fearing Allah pertains to obeying Him in what He has commanded and staying away from what He has forbidden. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, and let every soul look, each and every one individually. Look, don't just go on sending, don't just go on doing. Look at what you're doing, look at what you're sending. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow, after this worldly life is over. Each person should think, whether male or female, young or old, regardless of nationality, each person should think about himself, observe his or her own actions. And each person should hold himself or herself accountable before the time comes when they will be taken to account. So each one needs to think, are my efforts mostly about today, meaning this worldly life and the instant gratification that I can receive, or the hereafter? What am I doing right now? Will this be of lasting benefit tomorrow? What am I doing? How am I doing it? And where is this taking me? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah. And notice that this command is mentioned before and after, right? Taqwa is mentioned here two times. And in between the mention of taqwa, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. So we're being reminded that while it is that you're doing good deeds, before doing the good deed, have Allah consciousness. While you're doing the good deed, have Allah consciousness. And once you've completed a good deed, have Allah consciousness. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what you do. He knows of your deeds and what you prioritize. He knows what you do in terms of quality and quantity and why you do what you do and how you do it. He knows what you're investing for tomorrow. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ, and believers, be not like those who forgot Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ, so He made them forget themselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, those are the defiantly disobedient. Be not like those who forgot Allah. Don't be like those who have forgotten the remembrance of Allah and forgetting Allah, your creator, who originated you, brought you from non-existence to existence. Forgetting Allah is actually forgetting your own accountability, your salvation, where you're heading. So forgetting Allah is neglecting the fact that Allah gave us existence. We didn't exist before. We were nothing before He created us. Forgetting Allah is forgetting the meeting with Him and not preparing for that meeting. You see, in this dunya, when we have an important meeting with some person, right, a webinar maybe, we need to prepare in advance, right, so that everything goes smoothly. We put in effort in advance because the meeting matters. How much does the meeting with Allah matter to us today? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. And be not like those who forgot Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. So He made them forget themselves. And this is because at times we become distracted, consumed by trivial pursuits in this dunya. We forget about the purpose of our existence, even our physical well-being sometimes, right? Our family, our friends, our community. So we're being reminded, be not like those who forgot Allah. So He made them forget themselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those are the defiantly disobedient. And the reality is that our life is divided in a today and a tomorrow, right? Our tomorrow is based on what we do today. So if we don't remember Allah today, if we don't prepare today for the meeting with Him tomorrow, what are we going to face? What will we have in our hands tomorrow? وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow. Because whatever you put forth today, you will find it tomorrow. لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Not equal are the companions of the fire and the companions of paradise. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. The companions of paradise, they are the attainers of success. Because they're saved from loss, real loss, and they attain the desired goal, real success. That's real gain. Not equal are the companions of the fire and the companions of paradise in their living and their actions and their goals and their methods and their accountability and their eternal abode. So here two categories of people are mentioned, and they're not equal. So the outcome of both is different. Ashabul Jannah are not like Ashabul Nar. And then Allah mentions here next. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it humbled and coming apart from fear of Allah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these examples we present to the people that perhaps they will give thought. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ. If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, one of the toughest and most stable creations that we observe as human beings on the face of this planet. They seem to be immovable, firm, large. If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا. You would have seen it humbled, coming apart, coming down, being demolished. متصدعًا, coming apart, crumbling to pieces. You would have seen it humbled and coming apart من خشية الله, from fear of Allah. So if this is the case with a mountain, which is hard and tough and huge, that if it was made able to comprehend and understand this Quran, it would have crumbled from fear of Allah, what about you and I? What is the state of our hearts when we hear the Quran being recited? Do we soften from within and have humility out of the fear of Allah? Because unlike mountains, we do have the capacity to understand Allah's commands. And we do have the capacity to comprehend His speech. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these examples we present to the people that perhaps they will give thought, they will reflect. So when the Quran is understood and reflected upon, it breaks a person's ego and uncompromising nafs and uncontrollable desires, not to destroy a person, but to improve them, to purify them, to detoxify them, to strengthen them. So the impact of the Quran is that one is able to conquer the nafs and the character becomes reformed. The impact of the Quran is upon the thinking process and the character of a person, because people tend to think too highly of themselves, right? So they're made to understand through something that is mighty and strong. Look at how when the Quran penetrates the heart, how it ends all arrogance and pride and makes a person into a new, transformed, enhanced, guided person. And when a person changes his actions for the better in terms of speech, dealings, and mannerisms, this is a sign that the Quran has truly entered the heart. This person is on the path of obtaining guidance. And as Imam Shafi'i, he said, knowledge is not just what is memorized, but knowledge is what benefits. So the one who truly wants to take the Quran, what is his state? What is her state? We learn in Surah Az-Zumar, also verse number 23, that Allah states, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith. Allah has sent down the best statement, kitaban mutashabiha, a consistent book. Mathani, we're in his reiteration. Taqsha'irru minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum. The skins shiver, they're from of those who fear their Lord. Thumma talinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah. Then their skins and their hearts relax at the remembrance of Allah. Dhalika hudallah. That is the guidance of Allah. Yahdi bihi man yasha, by which he guides whom he wills. So those who really want this blessing, this guidance, Allah guides them. And Allah continues to guide them. You see, people react towards hearing the recitation of the Quran or even understanding some amount of the Quran in a variety of ways. Some people become better. Some remain the same and some become worse because they fall prey to arrogance, right? A believer's approach is sincere. The Quran has a profound impact on the believer. It purifies the believer, cleanses the believer, teaches the believer to prefer the hereafter over this dunya. And this can only happen effectively when a believer maintains a strong connection with Allah, recognizing Him. Recognizing Him. Recognizing whose speech the Quran really is. And this is why knowing the names of Allah is so important, right? And so here, in the last few verses of Surah Al-Hashr, we learn of the most beautiful names of Allah, the descriptive names of Allah. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity. He is ilah, the only ilah worthy of worship, and we are His worshippers. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada, knower of the unseen and the witnessed. Hu ar-Rahmanur Rahim, He is the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. We are shown mercy by Him and compassion also in different forms all the time, and we're so needy. We are needy of Allah's vast mercy in all conditions, in this dunya and in the hereafter. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity, knower of the unseen and the witnessed. He is the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity. Al-Malik, the sovereign, who owns everything. We are His possession. He has full authority, full power. Al-Quddus, the extremely pure. As-Salam, the perfectly sound, the bestower of safety. Al-Mu'min, the bestower of faith, the bestower of security. Al-Muhaymin, the overseer, the one who watches over. Al-Aziz, the exalted in might, the ever almighty. Al-Jabbar, the compeller, the extremely great, the restorer. Al-Mutakabbir, the superior. Subhanallah amma yushrikun, exalted is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. Hu Allahul Khaliqul Bari'ul Musawwir, He is Allah, the creator, the originator, the inventor. We didn't exist before He created us. He is the fashioner, the bestower of forms. He gave us the form we have. Lahul Asma'ul Husna, to Him belong the best names. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and earth is exalting Him. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the ever almighty, the ever wise. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We learned that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, he who likes to know if he loves Allah the mighty and majestic should present himself before the Quran. If he loves the Quran, he loves Allah, the mighty and majestic. Because the Quran, it is Kalamullah, Azza wa Jal. It is the speech of Allah, the mighty and majestic. So we need to ask ourselves, do we love the Quran? Do our choices prove that? Because love is proven through actions and choices. We also learned that Abu Bakr al-Ajurri, he writes in his book, The Character of the Bearers of the Quran, that the one who is really the bearer of the Quran, he reads the Quran to discipline himself according to it. And his concern is, when will I be of those who have taqwa? Mata akunu minal muttaqin. When will I be of those who are humbly submissive? Mata akunu minal khashi'in. When will I be of those who are patient? Mata akunu minal sabirin. When will I abstain from the world? Meaning, when will I be able to stay away from too much indulgence in worldly pursuits? Mata azhadu fi dunya. When will I restrain myself from temptations? Mata anha nafsi anil hawa. So we need to ask ourselves, when we recite the Quran or when it is recited to us, do we ask ourselves these kinds of questions? Do we introspect this way? May Allah make us of those who are the best of the bearers of the Quran. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min nafsin la tashba' wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from knowledge which doesn't benefit, from the heart that is not submissive to you, from the soul that does not feel contented, and the supplication that is not answered. Oh Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings and have mercy upon us. We ask you to enrich our hearts with iman and taqwa, such that we are amongst those who obtain guidance from the Quran and are included amongst your most loyal slaves. Oh Allah, raise us amongst the best of the bearers of the Quran. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakallah khairan kathira, Sister Maryam, for this very powerful presentation to really remind us to, really take the Quran at a personal level and really see the Quran as a blessing, as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a source of guidance, not just in our quote-unquote religious lives, but in all of our lives, to really make the Quran a source of guidance for ourselves in our day-to-day. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a reality for all of us. Ameen. Now, a little bit more about the Ta'lim al-Quran course. Some of you have been asking more questions about it. What makes the Ta'lim al-Quran course really unique and different from all other programs out there is the fact that we study the Quran all the way from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah An-Nas. And when we do that, we actually look at every single word of the Quran. And I want you to show, I want you to see the books that we use. This is just one example. And you can see over here how, I'm sure it's not very clear, but perhaps you can see how, every word has its meaning right under it. And the purpose is to look at the text of the Quran and to study every word of the Quran. And by that, know the Quran, such that every time that you come across an ayah of the Quran, whether you are reading it or you're listening to it, instantly you become familiar with it. You are able to understand what the Quran is saying. And don't take my word for it. I would love for you to listen to a student testimonial, to hear from our graduates about what they have taken from this course and how this course, alhamdulillah, has transformed their lives and their connection with the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Maria Hanif, and looking back at my experience at Al Huda and completing Ta'lim al Quran, I don't think I've been more appreciative of such an opportunity now than ever before. It's when I'm no longer in that beautiful and sheltered environment in which everyone is remembering Allah and pushing me to become the best version of myself that I value the ability to understand Allah's word even more. It's in these challenging moments when society is pressing a notion that doesn't quite really line with my values that I can quite literally understand Allah's words and lean on for support. It gives me a sense of confidence and a sense of empowerment, knowing who Allah is, knowing who God is. And that in turn defines my purpose and gives me a sense of mindfulness in every thought and action and every word that leaves my mouth. And one of the most important takeaways that I would want to shed light on from my experience in completing Ta'lim al-Qur'an is that I will forever be a student of knowledge, right? I will always be on the chase of self-betterment, you know? And in that case, that will result in familial and societal improvement as well. You know, when I begin to change myself to please Allah, right, to please God, that is when everything translates as well. And just a side note, when you complete your Ta'lim al-Qur'an journey and the first Ramadan comes around, maybe during or after your journey, just make sure to grab a pencil and write down how you feel, because spoiler, it's going to be the best experience of your life, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. I want to thank everybody who was with us today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering really a means of earning more hasanat, more rewards. May this gathering be a source of forgiveness for us. And I hope that inshallah all of us have been encouraged to up our game, to reconnect with the Quran at an even stronger level, inshallah. Any questions that you may have about the program, you can find answers to those. The links have been shared with you. Again, it's an 18-month long program, a full-time program for sisters, by sisters, in which we study the Quran word by word from the beginning all the way to the end, as well as some supplementary texts in order to enhance our understanding of the Quran in a very practical, realistic way, where every verse of the Quran is related with your personal life so that you're able to understand it, you're able to really benefit from it, and including, and as well as that, there's so many practical things that are taught so that we are able to practice the Quran in our daily lives. So the Ta'lim al-Qur'an program, in a nutshell, is really translating theory into action, helping us first understand the Qur'an and then also be able to learn how to practice it in our daily lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all among the Hamid al-Qur'an, the carriers of the Qur'an. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.